in that fraud is running. All kinds of issues going on, so we thought it would be very, very prudent to have Elaine speak with you to kind of cover what's going on, what you can do, and the latest information that she has. So with that, Elaine, we'll turn it over to you.
All righty. Thank you, Adrian, and good morning, everybody out there. As you all well know, I am not a morning person, so when Jeremy asked if I would do this, he's like, are you sure? Because this is morning, and we'll see. In addition, I'm also in my comfy chair, so what I will not do is just ramble on and take your time. I know this Tuesday is like a Monday to you guys, since we're all just coming back and hitting the workplace, and I know everybody is so doggone busy. So with that, I'm going to cover the things that I think we need to cover, and as quickly as I can, then we certainly will entertain any questions that you might have, because I would love to hear the burning questions. I'll try to address some that I've been hearing in the interim. It's been crazy. I really had thought
Hey, Elaine.
Yes.
Elaine, I'm going to mute everybody. If somebody has a TV on in the background or something, I'm going to mute everybody, then unmute yourself so we can hear you talk, okay?
Okay.
And he comes out.
Go, all right. Nope. Elaine, no. You're not unmuted yet. I can't unmute you, Elaine. You'll have to do it. There you go. Now you're ready.
Okay. Now, once again, good morning, everyone. I, out of respect for your time, because I know how busy everyone is, I'm going to cover the things that I think are the most important. And if I don't cover them, certainly ask me those questions as we have some time at the end of this, which I feel like we will. Fraud has been crazy. I had thought that the pandemic would be a slowing down of things. Absolutely not, when the unemployment issue also reared its ugly head. It first presented itself to our office when we had at first about seven claims against our office when we only have a dozen people on staff. None of the names which we knew, of course, and Leanne stepped in and was really great at protesting them. I believe we're somewhere around 40 right now. I talked to one of my Fed partners, and she indicated that she knew of a company that just had about 8 people, and they had several hundred claims. So that tells you, if somebody's slipping through the cracks and not able to dispute, that's money that's going to go out from Oklahoma. And that is what has happened in other states. We really started hearing this about a week ago Thursday. I maybe heard my first case Wednesday evening. By Thursday, we had a fraud alert out on May 14th to all of you to talk about a couple of different topics. The May 14th fraud alert, and I can send that to you. Send me an email to elaine@oba.com if you didn't get it. But the bottom half of it first addresses the issues of people filing in your bank employees' names, in your customers' names, things that individuals need to file on, as well as if someone has filed claims on your bank. The first part on the banks, it just basically says reported to OESC and the OESC supervisor who asked for that, and you have her information there. As well as reported also to the AG's office. The Attorney General's office really wants to help on these, as do all of our Fed partners. So we would encourage you to get all of those things in and help your customers, your employees, to be able to make those claims. That ought to start subsiding some. It's just been such a surge that everyone's been really having to deal with it. all of the information that I put in the second half includes also things for your customers to do, not only now, but also to be proactive in the future, like setting a credit freeze or at least a fraud alert on their credit, all those things. People can now check their credit once a week, and so you don't have to have the each one of the big three once a year. You can literally check your credit once a week right now. So some of these folks are finding that a valuable tool, and they are doing that. The fraud alert also at the beginning of that same alert on May 14th, there's a section on the Washington fraud. That was when we very first started seeing it. And I'm proud to say Oklahoma banks were picking up on this as early or earlier as anybody in the nation. And I cannot tell you how proud I am of you guys. I'm just absolutely tickled pink that you guys are on top of it and have done such a great job to help the other states. We just hope that states that are getting the Oklahoma claims are also doing somewhat of the same. In that first part, again, back to the May 14th fraud alert, we talked about the state of Washington fraud and how it looks, and they keep presenting in the same way. There will be a name mismatch on the ACH. There will be a customer coming in who is an unwitting money mule, and that person is basically given the story from the fraudsters. At first, we're hearing that they're saying, well, it's a family member, and that's the plan, and I'm trying to get it to them. Recently, I heard of one the person was being romance scammed. They thought that the story to them was that their fiance in the state of Washington was to get unemployment, but his bank was closed, so he couldn't do business up there because the banks are closed, which is a crazy concept. We know that there are lobbies that are closed. There are not banks that are closed, and certainly that was a really dumb story, but the person being romanced was willing to buy into it and believe it. The stories of the family, all of those will be very consistent in their stories, and eventually it'll break down and they'll tell you that it's a boyfriend, whatever they're being scammed to money mule the money out. If you have a money mule that's come into your bank and they're hard to get them to listen, romance scammers are the very hardest people to get to really listen to reason. I would encourage you to go to just Google for FBI and either Money Mule or Don't Be a Mule. There is a wonderful booklet that you can download. It's, I don't know, 14 pages or so. And it makes them understand that they are indeed in the midst of a crime. And that piece gives you the force and effect of FBI saying, hey, we know this is a problem, and it is a crime, and it gives it that kind of validity. So I would encourage you to do that if you have money mules that are just resistant and not wanting to listen to reason. The first of these ACHs that we were seeing were not in small numbers. The numbers have continued to be from a low of around $9,000 up to around $28,000. And many of your customers have received three or four different payments. So in total, just even with one money mule can be a lot of money. The numbers that our banks are snagging and getting back immediately has just been impressive. So again, kudos to all of you out there. In the first of the alerts, we did give you the information on Washington State to be looking for keywords, and what we suggested, looking for wires not in your account holder's name. If there's a name mismatch, you can return the funds and look for the Washington keywords. We soon found that there was much more going on, and a number of states were impacted. I received a text from one of our bankers a week ago Saturday, early in the morning, saying Brian Krebs, our buddy at Krebs on Security, had written a piece exactly on this unemployment fraud. So Since I've known Brian for quite some time and worked with him, I sent him an email telling him what was going on here, what we're seeing. He ended up quoting that in his article because he had no idea of the numbers that people were seeing and that kind of information and the stories that they were getting. After he included that, we started hearing from folks all over the nation, including people in the Washington area. It also was reprinted in the Seattle newspaper. So we started getting those calls from everywhere. We have helped Mississippi. We've helped North Dakota. We've helped Ohio. Just a number of different states that have said, hey, what are you guys doing? So your fine work in detecting this, because it all comes from you guys. We don't know anything until we hear from you and we learn from you what you're doing. So that the kudos goes to our bankers each and every time. The second fraud alert that we did, it became important to get more information out, partly because the U.S. Secret Service also got some information out to us, saying what to do, basically giving the information. If you have received a name mismatch and you catch it fast enough, you can return it with an RO3 code, which is name mismatch, and that's an easy deal. They gave words that you could use with your customer if you want your customer to sign off on saying we're voluntarily relinquishing this. I have some questions since we know it's fraud. At what point, if I know if the customer's already withdrawn the money, you're going to have to can send them a letter or something to ask them to voluntarily bring it back. If the money is still there in the bank, the Secret Service note says that you should have the indemnification from your attorney, from your customer. And if your attorneys say to do that, that's wonderful. I would hope that there would be a way for us to hold it. That is a question for the attorneys. But at the very least, letting your customer, if you're talking to your customer to say, please voluntarily give us this money back, I would at the very least stress so strongly to them that they're involved in a crime and they can become responsible for this money when that state wants to claw it back, when they realize that it is a fraud and that these people have been in the middle of it. Again, reminder, your customers are going to be unwitting mules. They probably are not going to know what's going on. They're not only doing the typical romance scam people, but we have seen a lot of vulnerable people at younger ages, but very vulnerable folks that they have targeted, and I'm not sure how that has happened. So that is an interesting concept out there. You do file a SAR. That's one thing to absolutely you want to do. You can notify the Secret Service. You can notify FBI. I am in the process of getting together a good list for the FBI on our banks who have experienced this, just so they can have some idea of the scope and contact information so that they can talk to you guys out there as far as what they're seeing. So that it is getting in their hands, but if you want to reach out and make that separate contact, you have the information for Wes Gillespie, who's one of our wonderful Secret Service agents, on that May 21st fraud alert. Also, at the top of that fraud alert, the other reason for us sending it out was because we were beginning to get information from our wonderful partners at FS-ISAC and other sources on keywords for which you could search for multiple states. The first list that I saw of that, and the primary list, was coded as TLP Amber, which means we can give it to people that we contract with. We can give it to people in our arena, so we can give it to bankers. What we're not allowed to do is do anything that is a wide dissemination, which means it rules out our fraud alerts by the technical use of that, and I want to keep our Fed partners happy. So I've tried really hard to make that happen. What we did was get a list of those keywords, and in that alert, we asked if you needed the keywords for searching. We also got from one of our other wonderful bankers a list of origination IDs that they're using to search. So those two things are really powerful. I have them together in one document that I would be glad to send out to you. If you need that and you have not received it, again, send an email to elaine@oba.com. And I will get it to you. Ironically, after being so careful about what I sent out there, I got a list from one of my, the Muskogee Mafia group, which included that information as well as the information we have in our fraud alert. So I'm not sure if we can't get it out more wholesale now, but in the meantime, just send me an email and I definitely will get it to you because I know a lot of you are using that and it's been very valuable. If you find keywords that are not on there, I've had banks add on a couple of states information that we did not have because it's a moving target. It's not just one area that's being hit. We hope that you'll find Oklahoma on your list and the keyword is conduit, which is the group that sends those out. You don't need to be looking for that one in Oklahoma. I've had that question several times. That is for other states if they are seeing the out-of-state Oklahoma, because typically that is the way that they're capitalizing on it out of state. I am glad to say the information on how to file claims with OESC, we were able to get in contact with one of the OESC general counsels. She has been wonderful. So everything that is in that first fraud alert is vetted by OESC on procedures and ways to get it in their hands. So just know that we're really starting at the top to get these things into your hands. And remember, your mules are unwitting and vulnerable. The way that they're going to send it out is typically by a Western Union wire or a reloadable card, or we've had a number that have been asked to convert it to Bitcoin to send it to the fraudster. So those are the ways that it is typically going out. The numbers, again, 9,000 to high of 28,000 per incident and multiple in accounts. Our speed of detection has been absolutely fabulous. And again, I want to thank you guys for that. Off of this note, don't think that the rest of the frauds have stopped. We have had a major surge in business email compromises. We've had one that would have impacted the bank directly. They were smart enough, saw the language, and the money did not go out. But we have also had multiple cases where your retailers are hit because the fraudsters, the instance of bad malicious emails right now is up by 600%, which is just mind-boggling. Given that, the fraudsters get more access to more computers than they do the business email compromise, which is simply where they pose as the head of a company or someone who would be doing a wire, ask for a large wire out, divert it to a different location. And very often it's just done at the speed of light, and we are really working hard to chase these back. The faster we know, the faster we can get our FBI and Secret Service buddies on these, the better we're going to be. So the minute you know something like that is happening, in every case that we've had recently, the banks have done their callbacks, the banks are doing everything right, but the fraudsters are in your retail customer's computer, and that's how they're making it happen. These numbers are not small. Hundreds of thousands is not unusual. I saw one recently that was half a million. So just know that a lot of money can change hands rapidly if you're not paying all the attention you can to these. On a totally different note, your bank robberies, we talked about mass, and we had a conference call on this, so I know you guys are probably tired of hearing about that, but I did make the point that bank robberies have been down. Then we had a couple of really large size robberies in the Tulsa area. One of which, unfortunately, I was supposed to be doing their bank robbery training. It was one of the first that got canceled because of the pandemic. So I felt doubly bad when they had a Morning Glory robbery, which is where they approached the person going into the bank in the morning. In that case, the amounts were large and the amounts got out in the media. Now, probably partly because there was an arrest of a Tulsa area fire captain. And we are delighted that those two have been resolved. Both of them were by him and that was resolved. Our issue in that case was that the media got hold of large numbers that he was able to get from them. And so now we're working with FBI, Tulsa PD, and folks in that area so we can do what we're doing in the rest of the state to, when we do charging documents, instead of putting that amount in there, we ask them to say an amount known only to the FBI. And that way it doesn't get big numbers out there, which makes our bank robbers light up like slot machines, like they think they can get a lot of money out of banks, which is typically not true. As you know, the number is typically very, very low. So we're working on that. I've had a lot of phone calls on that issue. And finally, last thing I'm going to talk about, and then we can entertain any questions that you might have. We just had one of our banks that has an issue with someone replicating their website, which they've tried to work with some of our Fed partners to get it taken down. It's not happening. I just got that email prior to getting on this morning, but my plan at this point is to send out an email to our bank techs in the Info Security Mafia group to say, hey guys, help us figure this thing out. How can we get this best taken down? So we have wonderful minds in this area and want to use them to help all of our banks. So with that, Jeremy, I'm going to ask if you have any questions out there.
If you have any questions, you can hit *6 on your phone to unmute or just unmute yourself by hitting the mic on the computer screen.
Elaine, this is Roger. Just wanted to double check on your ability to help some of the other states. I've starred you as one of our shining stars, and I know that we have had several inquiries from other states, starting with that Washington unemployment scam. Would you comment on where our other states are and what they're doing and how far ahead of them these guys are?
Our other states are just beginning to see that this is happening. North Dakota specifically had just heard of some instances, and this was the latter part of this week. So we were a full week ahead of them on sending back information. The fact is, it's there. It's all of our banks. It's kind of funny to be trying to compile a list for our Fed partners because it's all of our banks. It's everybody that's looking for it. It's large banks, small banks. It's out there. But the states that I have talked to, even through the bankers associations, they're delighted to get the help. But they did not have the early response like we did. So, and it's all due to our banks. It's them calling and saying, this is out there. Hey, how do we fix this? They're wonderful.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Other questions or other comments?
Elaine, it's Adrian. I know you've got a great relationship with the general counsel over at OESC. Are you able to shed a little light on what's going on at the agency? I know their executive director, Robin Robertson, resigned immediately at the end of last week. Is there any information you may have on what's going on their end?
Not really. She hadn't been there very long. She was brought in to fix things and had just been there, I believe, a couple of weeks and also had some medical issues in addition to that. But I think she was probably a very talented administrator. It's just that all the states are being hit by this, and there's a great pressure to get the payments done. We get that. People are unable to pay bills and unable to do things. So they want their money immediately, and our systems were just not set up for things happening at the speed of light there and surging like it was. I do know that they have targeted some out-of-state phone numbers, and there are some things that they're using as indicators. However, I know half the reporters that I talk to when I call back, they have an out-of-state line. They keep their wireless out-of-state number. So there just aren't any easy answers to know how to fix this. I know that OMES is going to help on that. And I think that's great too, but I think the message is everybody is really trying.
Perfect, thank you. Any other questions for Elaine? Jeremy, are there any questions in the chat box?
None here.
Okay, well, we try to keep these calls to 30 minutes, keep them informative and be very respectful of your time. We know you guys have a lot going on. Unfortunately, the fraud issue is most likely just going to pick up in intensity as we travel down this road that none of us have explored before. So thank you to Elaine for all that she does. She keeps us informed. She keeps you informed. And there's a reason that she's the best out there. She gets the information to you before others even know it's out there. So thank you, Elaine. Pat, we will wrap up and... If you have any questions on anything, you know how to contact us, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you, and have a good day.
Thanks, everybody. This call
will be
recorded, and you'll be able to download it from our website. Thanks, guys.